This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Joe's done it again. Some folks thought Big Joe was done.
Shake it down.
Some just figured Joe was gone. Steps to the fire with a great big grin.
Oh,
Joe DiMaggio's done it again. Yes, folks, Joe DiMaggio's done it again. He's put Jeff and Shay back on air with Breaking Waves. Hi, Shay, how you doing?
Hello, Jeff.
The reason we're playing, yeah.
Just for the sake, sorry. We were 1914 was the year of the Chicago White Sox. They played 110 years ago, and now it came 100 years later, 1914 to 2014. The LA Dodgers and the Diamondbacks were playing the World Series of the Sydney Cricket Ground. 100 years later.
Baseball, you're talking, Shay.
Yeah, in the
You may be wondering, people, what are they on about? Is Breaking Waves diving into the deep end?
It was, I think, who won the 14 was, I think it was the LA Dodgers.
Here's a clue.
The Dodgers won the World Series in the Sydney Cricket Ground. They just beat Australia.
Here's a clue.
Australia beat the Diamondbacks. I think it was 5-0. 5-0.
It's the Capital City Golfball.
It's Dodger Baseball.
And now listen,
Dodger Baseball.
In case you're all at sea, because we are.
What are you saying, Jeff?
We're doing baseball today.
Yeah.
On Breaking Waves, because Shay is like, he's a baseball.
Yeah.
I use the word sensitively, a baseball nut, an aficionado. He is just a fact machine gun. He will just shower you with obscure facts like the fact that baseball was first played on the Australian gold fields in Ballarat.
In 1850.
In 1850. There you go.
Yes.
First baseball game between miners.
In Victoria.
In Victoria.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And here's a fact I looked up.
Yes.
Did you know that the... baseball was played in 1956. There was an exhibition game between
Melbourne,
the US and Australia. Guess how big the crowd was.
Well, how much?
104,000 people.
Really, 104.
And that's 1956. That was actually at the Sydney,
Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Olympic Games.
It was in Melbourne Cricket Ground.
56 Olympics.
It was Melbourne Cricket Ground.
But 104,000 people when the population of Australia was far less.
Yeah.
That's big.
Usually, Melbourne Cricket Ground was not the first to be in 1956. It was 1914. And do you know how many crowds were there?
Oh, I no.
10,000 people have watched the White Sox versus New South Wales. It was 10,000.
Okay.
10,000 people. Almost the size of Blacktown. Yeah.
Do you want some more facts?
Yes.
And then we'll. In 1867, two cricketers named Gagan and Goldsmith tried to play baseball at Yarra Park, Melbourne, but were disrupted by AFL fans.
Mm.
In Sydney, in 1878, the first competitive games of baseball by Australians were played by members of the Surrey Baseball Club on Moore Park and by members of the New South Wales Cricket Association at nearby Sydney Cricket Ground. Further to this, Shay, in 1881, American residents formed a Union Baseball Club, and a year later, with Australians, formed a Sydney Baseball Club with US Consul Gilroy Wells Griffin. In the late 1880s, US sporting goods magnate Albert Spaulding, he of, you know, golf and tennis ball fame, brought his Chicago White Sox, who you just mentioned, and All-American teams across the Pacific for exhibition games in Auckland, Sydney, and Melbourne. So baseball has quite a long history in Australia.
Yeah.
Now, you yourself have played, haven't you?
Yeah, I played it when I was 13 years old. I played under 14s, and first game I played was 2004. It's 20 years ago, and I finished baseball in 2011. I played 7-8 years of baseball, finished, retired, and now I play golf. I'm still into baseball. I talk about it. I promote it on the radio, and I heard on the radio on ABC, on the ABC classical music, they mentioned a man at 5 o'clock. He said the news, the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers are playing the World Series. And Tony Williams is a supporter of the Yankees.
Well, actually, Troy Williams.
Yes.
It's good you mentioned Troy Williams, because Troy Williams is
a scout.
He is a scout. He's a baseball scout.
And he's doing it since he was 9.
From the US. Since he was 9?
Yeah.
He's from the US, and he's in Australia at the moment, and he's giving some talks around the place. But he has scouted players from around the world, from Africa, Europe, Japan, Korea, for the major U.S. baseball leagues, for clubs like is it the Yankees?
No, it's the Sydney Blue Sox baseball. The Yankees. Oh, there's about 29 teams in America, and one team in Toronto Blue Jays. It's in Canada, and it's called the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right.
And they changed the logo of the Blue Sox, the Blue Jays. They made a city logo, and I'd never seen any Major League Baseball have a logo of a city. I saw a logo of the city of Brisbane called the Brisbane Bandits made a logo of the city. I don't ever seen the Sydney Blue Sox ever made a logo of the city of Sydney, with the Opera House, with the Harbour Bridge, and the city of the representative of the capital of city. I saw the Blue Jays and the Brisbane Bandits have a city logo and representing every city in each city and state of the jerseys.
You've got the knowledge.
Yeah.
Hey Hugh, can we just have another dose of that baseball organ? Because having grown up on The Simpsons and things like that, you hear this all the time, but it's oh yeah, Krusty the Clown. It's a weird American tradition, isn't it? They have organists at their sporting fixtures, and that's the kind of stuff they play. Like, we don't have organ players at the footy, do we?
No.
We have, like, pre-match entertainment. We have Barnsley singing Working Class Man, but we don't have anything as classy as an organ. You know what we should do? We should have a brief snippet of a famous baseball song while I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
Do you know the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Ball Game? I think we've got a little version by Frank Sinatra. This is, speaking of classical baseball riffs, because I know you Australians are fascinated by this. Shay is. Yeah. And we're going to convert you all to the cause of baseball. Let's hear a little bit of Cranky Frankie Sinatra singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Ellie Kelly loved baseball games, knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day, shout hooray when they played.
Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said,
to Coney Isle, dear, we'll go.
Then Nellie started to fret and pout,
and to him I heard her shout, hey, take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack, I don't care if I never get back, let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, 'cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
That was Take Me Out of the Ball Game by Gene Kelly. Oh, lovely. Lovely version. And now I think it's time to introduce our special guest. He's going to be on the phone. He is Troy Williams, who is a famous baseball scout from the US. He's here scouting people. And I'm just going to give you a brief bio of Troy. Troy Williams. Troy Williams has been a scout for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Minnesota Twins, and New York Yankees. He coached for the German national team in the 1995 European Championships, 2007 European Championships, 2007 Baseball World Cup, 2008 Final Olympic Qualification Tournament, 2009 Baseball World Cup, 2010 European Championships, 2011 Baseball World Cup, 2013 World Baseball Classic Qualifiers. I can't go on. He's just done heaps. There's heaps more. It just goes on and on. Anyway, he was also a coach for the Stuttgart Reds. Whew. Anyway, please, let's make him welcome. Welcome to Breaking Waves, and hello, Troy Williams.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Troy. And thanks so much for agreeing to have a chat on our little radio show, Breaking Waves. I'm Jeff, by the way, and my compatriot is Shay.
Shay, I'm the same person. I came last night on Monday night with Martina. We went and saw you with Laurie and the Amphiscot Club.
Absolutely. We'll not forget that. Great to meet you.
I want to ask you, what do you think about Australia compared to the US and how the baseball was popular, but our sport is not as popular as the US and Canada because Australia is always dominated with cricket, the sport, yeah. What do you think, Jeff?
It's a really good question, Jay, for sure. There's no doubt about that, and it's a little complicated, but if I try to sum it up, obviously baseball is America's national pastime.
Yeah,
it's been a popular sport. When I was a kid, pretty much everybody grew up playing the game. Mm. Most kids that had any interest in sports played a little bit of baseball. They played catch with their dad. It's not quite like that anymore. Other sports have gained in popularity. Basketball, although it was very popular before, and American football and ice hockey, they've all seemed to gain in popularity. And baseball is still very, very popular, although I think it's lost. It just... compared to the other sports, it doesn't have maybe as many kids playing as you saw before.
Yeah.
But still, of course, there's so many kids to choose from in America, going up through youth leagues to high school to college to professional baseball. There's so many kids playing.
What do you think, Tony Williams, that Australia has 24 sports that play, but I played 21 sports and I get so confused with all the sports I played.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many sports in Australia. I'm sure you play every sport that's played in America at some level.
Yeah.
Maybe not a few of the niche sports like lacrosse. I don't like lacrosse or ice hockey. The sports that are pretty popular in America aren't as popular here, but you certainly have rugby, which is much more popular, and cricket at very small scales. Those sports aren't played very many places, not many players in the United States, and of course Australian rules football and netball and things like that. So there's a lot of sports that aren't played so much in the United States, although they might have a small presence. But I do think that, you know, if you think about all of the bat and ball sports, that's one thing. You know, hockey's a little bit similar. It's a stick and a ball, or a stick and a puck, depending if you're playing field hockey or ice hockey. Those are special skills that you don't always have in other sports. And I think, and I talked about multi-sports and the advantages of that the other night, but certainly if you have a bat and ball sport or a stick sport, puck sport like ice hockey, I think in the Czech Republic, for example, a lot of the baseball players have played, grown up playing ice hockey, and you'll see that really benefits them a lot, but just because the hand-eye coordination is very similar. So that's one thing that I think is really advantageous for Australians, if they've grown up playing cricket, although there's some differences, still that similarity. For example, in a place like Germany, where almost every kid grows up kicking a soccer ball, they don't have that same hand-eye coordination because they probably didn't play, unless some of them played field hockey or ice hockey. They don't usually have the bat and balls or the that kind of hand-eye coordination. So I think that does help a lot of players here who grew up playing cricket. They have that advantage.
So do you think, Troy, that maybe a cricketer could potentially make a good baseballer and vice versa because of the hand-eye coordination and the skill involved? And has that ever happened? Has anyone ever converted from one sport to the other? I mean, I can't think of an example.
Yeah, Vince is with me here. That's one reason I wanted to be on speaker, because he has a great deal of knowledge when it comes to this. I don't have so much knowledge, but he says yes.
Okay.
There's a number of very high-level elite former cricketers that played baseball in our winter. Alan Border, Greg and Ian Chappell, Norm O'Neill, Mark Taylor, they all played baseball in the winter.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
And there was a cricket baseball player. His name is Travis Dezano. He's number 37. Plays baseball and cricket, and he got confused. And he's 21, and he made 45 home runs in college baseball just so quickly.
No, absolutely. So I tell you, I couldn't come to a better place. I'm so thankful to be here. Vince has been a great host, and he's great knowledge in baseball and obviously cricket and history of Australian sports. So no, I think that's huge. And I do think when you're an athletic person and you have well-rounded skills in athletics, whether it's, you know, using your feet a lot, agility, quickness, explosion, hand-eye coordination, bat to ball skills, I think it all helps out. And certainly
there was a scout from 110 years ago, since 1914, there was a man who was from the Chicago White Sox, and he came to Australia, and he said baseball was a bit daunting because it was so much about more around cricket in over 100 years ago. And this American man scout from Chicago White Sox, he came and saw about how different about cricket and baseball in this part in Australia, like from 1914. And they had a game in the Sydney cricket ground of Sydney.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. Remarkable the Melbourne Olympics had one too.
Actually, the Melbourne Olympics, I read, attracted a crowd for the demonstration game between the US and Australia, a crowd of 104,000 people. And this is in 1956, when the population of the country is, you know, half what it is today. It's quite amazing. And even a big AFL, Australian Football League game today, would be hard pressed to attract a figure near that. So it's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. That'd be cool to have a nice picture of that. I'm sure there's photos available somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Troy, you're out here amongst other reasons too. You gave a talk the other night that Che went to at the Arncliffe Scots Baseball Club. But I think your main aim is that you're a baseball scout, amongst other things. You're a coach, and you've been involved in many, you know, high profile fixtures, games and competitions over a long period of time. Are you out here at the moment scouting talent, and have you actually been to Australia and discovered any baseball genius here before?
No, first trip here. If it was my 10th trip, I'd still be very, very sad to be here. It's just a wonderful place. But yeah, I'm always looking. I'm not here specifically scouting. My area is Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So that's where I hone in on. But no matter where I'm at, I spend quite a bit of time in the United States and other places as well, South America or Asia. And this is my first time in Australia. So I've always got at least one eye, and usually both eyes, just looking for talent, because that's what I do. And it's a fun thing to do. I don't do it because it's not a job to me. It's just a passion. I love doing it. So I'm always looking for talent. And if I saw somebody here, we have a scout here with the Yankees. I'd make sure the first thing I would do is to let him know and see if he's seen him, and then go on from there. But I'm here. I just want to be here. And mainly for me, it's important to learn. I'm always trying to grow and develop my own skills and tools and my own set.
Sure.
To make me better. But in turn, I was offered a chance to go overseas in 1989, actually, and the guy who traveled to Russia, Holland, and Sweden came back and said, you know, this might be something you want to do, and he gave me connections, and I talked to some people, and that after, right after I graduated, I went overseas to Sweden, played over there, and 35, going 36 years later, I'm getting to do something I'd love to do for my whole life, and I'm thrilled to be, you know, over 50 years involved in the game.
Yeah,
and I just want to give something back. So if I have any chance to do anything that can help others in any way, shape, or form, I'm glad to do that. And I've talked to people here about if there's kids from Australia that want to go play in Europe or they want to go play in America, if I can help facilitate that, I'm glad to do that. If there's clubs that want players from Europe or other parts of the world, United States, whatever, I'm
yeah,
glad to help do that. You help organize trips and teams to play and, you know, things like that. Anything I can do to help with anybody's development, I'm more than happy to do that, because if I didn't get the chance from somebody helping me, like I said, 35 years ago, who knows, I'm like, my life would be so much different, I can't even imagine how.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I want to help and give back if I can.
When you see someone, a player, do you sort of, do you ever get like a thrill, a buzz? You go, that's you know, you're spotting something that you know is rare and, you know, skillful. Do you immediately go zap that, I don't know, the style, the stance, the walk, the timing? What is it? Is it like just a gut feeling, or it's a specific, like, you know, that guy has just, you know, whacked the ball out of the park, so to speak?
Well, that's a good question as well. I mean, all your questions are great, but this one, it's like poker. If you're playing poker, I'm sure on a computer, and there's nobody around, and you got a great hand, you might get excited and dance around the room. But if you're playing poker at a table, you're going to, you know, have that poker face because you don't want to tip your hand.
Yeah.
And so same thing, if I happen to walk into a baseball field and see a dad throwing with his kid and the kid's hitting the ball 450 feet, you know, he's throwing numbers up, hitting the ball 450 feet, I might look around and say, nobody's here, what am I looking at? Just, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I get excited. But you're watching the game with 10 other scouts there, you're going to try to play it pretty cool.
So
no,
sure.
You get excited. Inside, you get excited when you see something special. I had a guy tell me when I first started scouting, he gave me a tip. He said, you know, it's just like a lot of things in life, but if you want to eat steak or eat different types of meat, you know, you can tell when it's filet mignon or something special. He said, that's what you'll see when you see guys who can really play. They'll stick out at you. And
yeah.
I think with experience, you start to, and that's, if you go to games, I mean, Travis Pisano, like Jay was talking about, really incredible. I don't think there's any secret. When a guy's drafted overall number one, it's not like that. Not criticizing the club he drafted him, of course, but I'm probably sure that all 30 clubs would want to draft him. It just happened to be the one number one who could draft him. So a lot of these guys who get signed, it's
sure.
No-brainers. I mean, you see a lot of guys in sports, just absolutely no-brainers.
Yeah, yeah.
Get passed over. Like a guy like Tom Brady was passed over by all these teams and didn't get drafted till with a sixth round or whatever. Then everybody's kicking themselves later. And
it's like the Beatles, right? You know, they didn't get signed up. They got passed over. It's like, nah, there's no future in vocal groups. And that was Decca Records. And then they got signed by EMI, Parlophone, and the rest is history. And they once asked John Lennon, they said, oh, John, I bet the guy from Decca's kicking himself. And John said something like, I hope he kicks himself to death. You know, it was...
Yeah, and I think, you know, the guys who have that internal motivation, that fire within, they don't always need something like that, but it sure doesn't hurt. I know that's one thing that drove Tom Brady. He's like, he wanted to beat everybody because they all passed on. Well, the New England Patriots passed on him many times too. So but it's the guys for me. It's those diamonds in the rough, those late bloomers, the guys that all of a sudden, you know, people discounted or really didn't pay attention to that you see later on. And that's pretty cool too, because
have you
guys. That you kind of recognize and see something other people don't see. Those are special things, but
like,
that takes more time, more work, and more experience, and hopefully I get better.
What is your greatest hero, Tony Williams?
Troy Williams. Well, yeah, we want to thank you for your time today. It's like been very generous and a fascinating talk. But yeah, Shay's got one last question.
What is your greatest hero in all times?
Greatest hero all time. Well, I mean, you mean in baseball?
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough thing. That's a hard
question. We've asked a couple of curly ones at the end here. Like, I guess, who inspired you? You obviously love baseball.
As
a kid, I don't know. Who was the first person who really rocked your world as a player, perhaps?
Yeah, I thought about similar things. And my dad and my mother, they were big into pushing, not pushing me, but opening avenues and doors for me in sports. I'd have to go probably with my parents.
Yeah.
But there's so many people. It's just a combination of so many people that have been around since I was a kid, started playing all the way up through. Just if I had to pick people, I'd say my parents, but so many people have helped me, and I've learned so much. And just kind of combining all of that stuff has been such a special thing to me. If I had to pick one, I really couldn't do it other than my parents.
That's a nice answer. And I'm glad you didn't go dad and you didn't go mum. You went your parents. That's very diplomatic. They are dual heroes. Yeah, right. Listen, Troy, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. Shay's been had a thrill. He's the baseball man. He knows all the what's to know.
I want to thank you two, both you guys, Jeff Shay. Thank you so much for what you do, and it means a lot to me because I love this game very much. And without people like yourselves, I tell you, the game would not be near where it's at today. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much, Troy.
Thank you, Troy. Bye bye. See you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. I reckon we've done a really good show today,
yes.
If I say so myself. Mm. And I think we both deserve a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Do you want to pat me or I'll pat you? You pat me.
Yes.
That's good.
And I just hope that baseball in Australia promote, because in the 90s we used to have an old ABL and had more TV coverage, ABC, Channel 9, Channel 10. And it was called Australian Baseball League, Pepsi Cup Baseball.
Was it?
In the 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
And the league just died. And now there's a new league called Australian Baseball, run by Major League Baseball and Australian Federation.
Well, mate, rise like a phoenix from the ashes.
Yes, ashes.
Okay.
And I know baseball players grew up with cricket players,
yeah,
in Australia.
Yeah, good call. Ashes, yeah, cricket. Nice link.
In the wintertime, baseball and cricket play in the different seasons of different seasons.
You know what we should end with?
I think in Holland we used to play baseball for the Rounders. When the century, the Netherlands used to play baseball.
Rounders?
In Holland.
The Netherlands are a big baseball country.
Yeah. And
I know you said that Leyland was
Dutch
a good baseball player.
Pitcher, yeah. And he made 3,701 strikeouts, 250 winning games, 247 losing games.
Oh, my God.
And 160 shutouts.
You're a statistic machine.
And 430 home runs.
Stop it, Mama. He's kidding me with statistics.
It's
incredible.
And Tony Williams, we were saying
Troy
about
Williams?
Was saying about a no hitter.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know what's a no hitter. No hitter means the person gets out and gets hit, catches
know.
The
weird,
first
weird
base.
Weird US terminology.
First base.
Baseball talk.
I
but anyway,
know. I'll let it go.
I think we should end with a song that mentions
Jimmy
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth,
well,
the famous
Babe's
baseball.
Babe's in there somewhere. But
Babe
this
Ruth,
is
yeah.
This is Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
I've been Jeff.
You're Jeff and I'm Shay.
You're Shay. You've been listening too.
And the famous poet is Tug Dudley.
And Tug Dudley, he's here too.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening to Breaking Waves.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. worst of all, you got to hide it from the kids. Coo-coo-ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Look at the truth.